Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to continue with verses chapter 4, verse 32 through 5-2, because I've asked the question a lot since being in Ephesians of how are we to do all this? How are we to do it? And so it's just, how are you to be compassionate all the time? And all these things that we've been reading about, we'll get into it. But I hope the title will kind of give it away. The title of the message is The School of Jesus. And we're going to look at these verses as well as other verses. But I hope it will inspire you to think about how we are to do these things and how can we live this Christian life. It's such a challenge in verses 32 in chapter 4 through 5-2 that let's just read it. Be kind and compassionate to one another. And by the way, the Greek isn't saying occasionally. All the time. And not just to those who are in church, but those in your own family. The hardest place to be kind and compassionate is sometimes your own home, isn't it? People you know the most, people you're around all the time, you know, you can let your hair down a little bit. But we're to be kind and compassionate all the time, forgiving each other all the time, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children all the time. Live a life of love just as Christ loved us all the time and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. These verses provide more than what we can handle all the time. Don't you think it's difficult when you think about the all the time aspect of it? The Christian life is not a part-time job. It's a lifetime calling. It's a transformation of who you are. And it's not something you conjure up in yourself. It's what God's working in you. When you feel bad when you weren't compassionate to someone, or you feel bad because you were unkind to someone, that's good. When you feel rotten when you rake someone over the coals and you know you are unmerciful, uncaring, unfeeling, that's good because God is training you and teaching you to be a Christian all the time. I think verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5 make the challenge even bigger. Be imitators of God. What? All the time. It's bigger than we can handle. To be an imitator of God is impossible in our own strength. To love just as Christ has loved us, it's impossible, but it's what we are called to do. It's what we want to do, really. If you are a new creature in Christ Jesus with a new heart and a new spirit, this is the bent of your heart. God is shaping that, though. Just as you would a child. It's the bent of a child, the way they're to go. You shape it. You help guide them and help counsel them. And this is what God does with His own. He will not fail. Now, this passage in Ephesians isn't the only one. There's bunches of other Scripture texts that say much of the same things. And when Paul was writing to the Philippians in chapter 2, he was writing to people that lived in a very similar situation. They were in a pagan society. And he wrote the following verses to these that were in challenging circumstances as well. Philippians chapter 2. And I think that this is a companion verse to Ephesians chapter 4:32-5:2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Then he says this, your attitude just like he said in chapter 5, he said, love just as Christ loved you. Then he says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So you know this is to be big. If you're to love as Christ loved us, now he's saying have the attitude Christ has. It's big. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. May your attitude be like Christ's. May your love for one another be like Christ's love for his people. It's big, it's too big, but this is how we're counseled, what we're taught in the scriptures. It's what's expected of God's dearly loved children. It's not optional. Today's not your day to check out from this passage. Tomorrow's not your day off from considering others' needs before your own. There's not a day that's your day off. Now, before you go, oh, well, I hate a job that I had to work 7 days a week. If it's what you're called to do, and you walk in that calling, and you embrace both the joys and the disappointments, the hardships of it, you will never tire of it. You will never hunger to carry out what is God's will for you. It may be hard. It will be. It will be daunting. It will be heavily challenging. It's going to be hard. It's beyond your grasp. Somebody has said, many people have said, you probably had it told to you before, God will not give you more than you can handle. Is that true? That's not true. He will give you much more than you can handle. Why? You know the answer. He will handle it, but we'll lean on Him, right? And watch, live in His power. And it doesn't mean we're passive and we don't do anything. It means that we trust in Him to give us the grace that we can do it. Do these things that are expected of His children. I think that when we look at it, if we could look at the passage we just read, but if we go back to Ephesians 4:2, what did he write to those in chapter 4, verse 2? He said, be completely humble and gentle. So we have to add to what we've already read as far as big things that are too big for us, but it's what we're called to be, it's what we're to be like, it's how we're to be conformed our life to these things. Add to it, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Doesn't say be kind of humble. I love how God puts all these things. Be completely humble, completely gentle. And you will find that's going to rub you like 6-degree sandpaper in the underwear. It's going to chafe. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. Well, I just bought some 60 grit, and it's really all right, sand in the shorts. Okay. But it's not going to be something that's going to be easy. You know this, right? That's why we quit on it so soon all the time. It's like, this is painful. It hurts. It's too hard. I can't. Therefore, I won't. And yet, in your spirit, you know that's not right. But it does leave you asking the question, how? How can I be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love all the time? It's an all-the-time call. How can I be patient all the time? Patient. How can I bear with? How can I be long-suffering all the time? How can I be kind and compassionate all the time? Now, we will let each other off the hook. And we'll say, oh, honey, I know it's hard. You just come here. You don't have to do that no more. And we'll pamper each other like babies, won't we? that it's all the time. Forgiving one another. How can we be forgiving one another all the time? God is not being cruel. He's wanting you to live. God's not being unkind. He's wanting you to know His kindness. He does not want you to be compassionate just because it's the nice thing to do. He wants you to know Him. Our purpose in life is to behold the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and you can't rightly understand that until you start being imitators of God all the time. Live a life of love just as Jesus loved us all the time. Think about what we read in Philippians. To be like-minded together in this small body all the time. If we were 500 people, the command would be the same. We should count our blessings. We're small. Having the same love all the time. Being one in spirit and purpose all the time. Never acting out of selfish ambition all the time. In humility, consider others better than yourself all the time. Look out for the interest of others all the time. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus all the time. It's daunting. It's impossible. So do you quit because it's impossible? Some have walked away from the faith. Paul recorded this, that he had companions, that they said, it's too much, I'm over it, I can't take it no more, I'm walking away to the destruction of their own soul. But you, if you're in the faith, and you know Jesus, and He knows you, you can't walk away from this. You can't. You can't quit. You may quit for a minute. You may shut down. You may do something stupid. Just because you're digging your heels in and you say, I belong to me. But you can't quit. And you can't because you know that would never please Jesus. Right? You can't quit. When you hear all the times that I just read about, and you read them in Scripture, I think it's too big, it's too hard, but I can't quit. You have because you've been born again, the Spirit of God working in you is why you say, where else would I go? But I can't do it, it's too hard. But we're left speechless, hopefully, before the throne of grace. Hopefully we're left weakened and wearied enough by the command to think it's too much, I can't do it. A lot of people have said, if I'd have known my circumstance would have been so hard, I would have never taken that first step, ever. But God didn't give you that insight. And now you're in a situation that you have no choice but to seek Him and say, how? You pray, how, Lord, can I do this? Well, some of you answer, and we'll answer that question of how can I do this, and you're going to answer rightly by saying, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is exactly right. That's the right answer. Yes, amen, that's true. But all the time, how can we do as Jesus did all the time? How? In the Gospels, we learn that rather quickly, we learn you see it. Almost from immediate, as soon as the gospel started, the crowds that followed Jesus were not small crowds. They were large crowds. Jesus, help me! Jesus, watch me! Jesus, save me! Jesus, come to me! Jesus, heal me! Jesus, 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 Jesus! The voices never stop in the gospels. And that's just a fraction. Jesus, come quickly. Jesus, I'm tired. Jesus, I'm sick. Jesus, I'm blind. Jesus. But Jesus never emptied of compassion. How did he do it? He never emptied of his kindness. He never emptied of his love. He never emptied of patience. He always was a reservoir of these things. He poured and poured and poured and poured. He gave and gave and gave. And for every voice that called out, Jesus was there. He was wearied. He became tired. Philippians tells us he was in likeness human. He took on flesh. He was prone to our weariness. He wasn't subject to sin. He had no sin nature. He could be tempted, but he was without sin. He was often tired. He needed to rest. He would sit. He would eat. He would sleep. But he was never put off by the thousands and thousands and thousands of demands that went on and on and on, day and night, night and day, week after week after week after week, step after step after step. People crying out, "Give me, give me, give me." And there's nothing wrong with that. They were going to the right source. In my world, maybe it's the same in your world, there are a lot of voices. Just think for a moment of the voices. And how many times as the voices are crying out to you, thought, how long must I endure? It could be your children. It could be your spouse. It could be your neighbors. It could be coworkers. It could be your boss. It could be a number of people. But in my world, a lot of voices are asking of me, needing me, making requests of me. Jim, help! Jim, watch, watch, watch. I hear, "Coach Jim, watch, watch, watch." And I'm looking all over the place. Jim, come, come quickly. Jim, 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 Jim. But I'm wearied often. I'm tired often. I'm easily exasperated. I lack patience, but at the end of the day, I ask the question, how, Lord? How? How can I do this? How did you do this? Teach me. Because if we're to be imitators of God 24/7, we better go to the one who perfectly showed us, who is God, who showed us what He's calling us to do. Just think of Jesus right now. Think of the millions of varied requests that flood the throne of grace right now. If we all started praying what's on our heart right now, it would sound like a babbling brook. And yet, every one of those requests that come to the throne of grace are personally received by Him. How? He is God. He has all power, all wisdom, all knowledge. For all the weak that come to Him, the hurting, the weary, the lonely, the fearful, the faithless, the impatient, the unbelieving, the happy, the sad, the self-assured, the proud. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you ask the question, how, Lord? And you call me to be an imitator. How? How am I supposed to be completely humble and gentle? How to be kind, compassionate, loving? Thankfully, Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He never fails. He never wearies. He's never put off. This past week, I prayed, and I praised Him, and I marveled at Him. I just thought, how you do these things and you call us to them. How are we to do them? But as I prayed and as I praised Him, I was driving up Highway 11. I was just thinking of, as I got ready for gymnastics, that there's going to be dozens and dozens of children that are going to follow me around, and they're going to ask me, they're going to say, Jim, watch. Jim, come, Jim, help, Jim. And I'm amazed that Jesus never snapped. He never snapped. But as I prayed and I considered and I asked him, Lord, how these words from Matthew's gospel, three words, turn my week around. Learn from me. Learn from me. If you forget anything else today, remember Jesus said, learn from me. Matthew 11:28-29 is Jesus' personal invitation for us to learn of him. A personal invitation. Most schools have an enrollment limit. There's only so many chairs in a classroom. Jesus says to you and to me and to every one of his children, learn from me. Matthew 11:28-29 say this. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I think he's talking about sin. But as I read this on this side of the cross, having believed on the Lord and reading his commands to be kind and completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another, to be compassionate, to be loving just as he is loving, to be hopeful and patient and so on, I have to believe he's talking to me. He's talking to you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take the mantle of responsibility that I give you upon you, and learn from me. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. And he says, and you will find rest for your souls. Most of us are restless in our souls. And Jesus doesn't scold you right now. He says, come. He doesn't say, shame on you because you should have done this a long time ago. He says, come. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Take the responsibility that I call you to take it. Take it upon yourself. Own it. And learn from me. He will not teach an unwilling student. I don't like wasting my time with people that won't listen. You may remind them 100 times, but are you going to invest the time and the energy it takes to walk through life with them? You know you wouldn't. Jesus says to you, come, take upon yourself the responsibilities I give you, own them for yourself, and learn from me. And for I am gentle and humble in heart. To learn, to follow him, to come closely, to become close to him. It's the only way you can learn from him. You've got to come near to him. A lot of us run the risk of keeping him at arm's length all the time, but he says, come near. The answer to all our questions raised in Ephesians 4:2, to be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another, to be completely all the time kind and compassionate, forgiving all the time, just as God in Christ forgave you, to be loving, to be imitators of God, to be loving all the time, to love one another just as God in Christ loved us, just as Christ Jesus loved us, what we read in Philippians 2:1-4, all these, the answer is, learn from me. Completely humble, learn from me. To be kind and compassionate, learn from me. His personal invitation to you is learn from me. There's no waiting line, there's no qualification except that you come to him through faith. He is available right now. You don't have to schedule an appointment with him. Learn from me. where you are in your circumstance, learn from me. Don't wait till it's better. Don't wait till you feel okay. Learn from me now. I am the God of heaven and earth. Jesus is the sovereign Lord who rules over everything. He causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That means your circumstance right now is one He says to you, quiet, quiet yourself, be still, learn from me. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is vanquishing every foe. But He's not too busy to personally teach you right now. Many of us had parents and teachers that became exasperated with us because we didn't get it. And it showed up in our grades if you're in school. F, D, C, whatever it would be. Or it showed up in home when parents scolded and pushed you away. But Jesus says, learn from me. He's the matchless one. There's no one like him. He's incomprehensible. He is the God of heaven and earth with omniscience and wealth and power like none other. Yet he says to you, learn from me. Jesus went on to say, for I am gentle and humble in heart, the King of kings. Gentle and humble in heart, he being open to our coming. He's not aloof. He's not proud or arrogant. He is teaching you right now. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. I'm not aloof. When people come to me, no matter who they are, I shouldn't be a respecter of persons or a disrespecter of persons. He's never aloof or proud or arrogant or harsh. He will never, ever demean you. He will never insult you. He will never hurt you. He will never abuse you. He is ever present as your teacher all the time. He is ever patient all the time. He's ever kind all the time. He's ever loving, ever compassionate, ever, ever, ever all things that you need. And he says, learn from me. The commands to be gentle and patient all the time, to be kind and compassionate, to be always forgiving, to love others always, just as Christ always loved us. These commands were never given to you for you just to figure out how to do them. They were never given to you for you to just stiffen your upper lip, straighten up your back, and plunge in and do your duty. He's your teacher. He's your sensei. He's your rabbi. He is the teacher. He's given us enough that is impossible for us to do. But he says, learn from me. That's the secret, I think, when we read these epistles. And this is why I wanted to touch on it today. Because you can't just follow these commands by rote. Say, okay, I'm going to be kind today. He transforms you into who He wants you to be. These are markers as to whether or not you're learning from Him and whether or not you're going to the source to learn from Him. Kind, compassionate, gentle, faithful, patient. You could go on down loving, forgiving. And you could, any epistle you read, and you're told to be joyful always, pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. Yep, I checked that off my list. Or no, I'm not going to check it. I just want to be that person. Jesus says, learn from me. It's a secret revealed in Scripture. It's right there in front of our faces. Hear His words today. Learn from me. You can't learn from Him if you don't sit with Him. It doesn't mean you've got to always lock yourself in a private room. I heard this from him, from the scripture, as I was driving down the highway, going to my next thing I got to do. And I'm wondering, how, Lord, how can I do this? Learn from me. I urge you right now to enroll in the school of Jesus. There's no form to fill out. You don't have to go to a website. Where you sit right now. Lord, teach me. I want to start learning from you. Learn from Him. Learn from me, Jesus says. So will you enroll in that school right now? Let's take a moment to pray. And if you would, ask Him to teach you. Maybe you feel like it's your first day of school and you feel real awkward with the teacher. And you want to know more, act like you know more than what you really do. Just forget that now. He doesn't ask you to know much, but He does call you to know Him. And He'll teach you, learn from me. Father, we pray that you would help us all as we reach out to you and ask you to, for the Lord Jesus to be our teacher, that we would learn from Him. Grant us grace, that we would see every opportunity, every circumstance in our lives as a place in your classroom. The difficult events, the things that press us really hard, that we don't think that we can do anymore. Teach us in those circumstances as we learn from you. Keep us from becoming weary and discouraged. Show us in your word as we study who you are and we study you and learn Christ, that we would never weary of looking to you. We may weary of our circumstances, but let us not weary in looking to you. Give us much grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a verse of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, if you remember it. If somebody wants to look up what number it is, we'll just sing the first verse, because it's Jesus Christ is that tie that binds us together. So let's stand and sing that first verse. I think we all know it. You know the number offhand, in case somebody wants to look it up. Let's just sing it. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Amen. Bless you all. May God's grace be great.